Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Welcome back. WIP Midday Show. Dan Wilson hanging out with me, Kyle Quinn, who is working today, unlike the other two slackers on the Midday Show.
Wow.
Joe and Hugh, yep, shots fired. Appreciate everybody spending their Friday afternoon and slash morning with Buzz and I here. Maybe if you're off for the day or you're going back to work for the week, hope everybody had a happy new year, because it's now, according to Buzz, my last day.
This is the last day to say. Don't allow it on Monday.
All right. Well, happy new year to everybody. And we got some early returns here, Buzz, that you and I sound similar.
Yeah, so this is not the first time we've heard this. Okay. So we do want to clarify for anyone listening, we are different people.
Yes.
This is me right now. The voice you hear right now is me, Dan Wilson,
yep.
Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
The voice you heard open the segment there is Kyle Quinn. We are both producers here. We both host from time to time as well. And the similarities in our voices go back a long time. So yeah, I get a text from my girlfriend Erica in the break that she's having trouble telling our voices apart. I was with her last night. I'm with her all the time. She can't tell my voice apart from your voice.
Well, congratulations to you.
Yeah, well, thank you. And this is not the first. I remember still the first day that you produced the Joe Giglio, Hugh, yep, Douglas Midday Show. My uncle's driving around. He hears you chime in on whatever, and he texts me. He's like, oh, you're producing a new time slot now. I was like, no, there's another producer who just happens to also be a suburban, yes, white guy from, yep, who in a similar age range from the Manoa Road corridor out in Havertown / Wynwood. And we also apparently just have deep-sounding, similar, yeah, voices.
I'm sure he was a little bit confused that you developed a Delco accent within the time that you
don't have that thick of a Delco accent.
No. But definitely,
you're not coming like Broads.
No. Broads is Broads.
You're not saying Hoagie.
Yeah, he's Broads got a
Jersey.
Broads, yeah, got a good one, man. But yes, if you're looking for anything that differentiates the two, if you haven't figured it out by now, I have a little bit more of a Delco accent than Buzz.
I'm from the Monco side of Manoa Road.
Yeah, I'm Delco guy.
Grew up in Lower Merion. You went to Haverford.
Yep. So, Buzz, we spent the first 2 hours of this show really going back and forth about the fact that Jalen Hurts has not taken too many meaningful snaps, 12 snaps in the span of one calendar month. A little bit worrisome to me that he might be rusty. If he were to clear concussion protocol this week, I think it would have been good for them to get him a series just to start the game and get him into a little bit of a rhythm. But we do have some audio here we want to play for you, because Nick Sirianni did speak today. He was asked again about Jalen Hurts, whether he's still in concussion protocol or not. Apparently it was a little bit testy. Caleb, if you could play that for us, here is Nick Sirianni today.
Do you have any additional information on where things stand with Jalen in any context?
Yeah, he's progressing through the protocol.
No long-term concern there?
He's progressing through the protocol. Can't say much more on when guys are in the protocol except for that.
Is the protocol stuff related to he would be resting anyway?
I'm sorry?
Is that it, the protocol, like you have to recover from practice, is the fact that he's would be resting from practice anyway related to him still being in the protocol?
Guys, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's progressing through the protocol. There's not much more I have for you on that, guys.
Man.
Getting a little testy.
Yeah, I had heard that he was a
That's
bit
the first
testy.
Time we're hearing that,
that
both
was,
of us.
Yeah, I mean, and so look, I understand he's not going to be able to divulge all the information. Like, I get that. It is frustrating to me that we don't have all the information. Like, I would want to know. It would make me feel a little bit better if he could answer the questions of how far has he progressed through the concussion protocol? Is he still feeling concussion-like symptoms? Because then all of a sudden you're like, wow, it's been 2 weeks and this isn't one of those minor concussions. This, you know, I guess the range is from like the Sidney Brown concussion earlier this year where he cleared within a week, or like Tua, who took like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Or so, you know what I mean? So
not
like,
all concussions are created
they're
equal.
They're not. And that's what worries me a little bit. I mean, just in terms of Jalen Hurts' health, we'll obviously know a lot more, or we'll know whether to panic or to feel okay about it next week if we see that he's practicing or he's limited, whatever, that he gets cleared from the concussion protocol. But, you know, I mean, it's something to keep an eye on. And we're wondering from everybody listening, the callers today, do you worry at all about the fact that Jalen Hurts has not had an opportunity to go out there and get reps with the rest of his team, and they have a playoff game staring him in the face where it's win or go home? And do you worry about him being a little bit rusty, Buzz? You're not overly concerned with him being rusty.
I'm not overly concerned. First of all, I'm not surprised that Sirianni can't say anything on this. The NFL makes it pretty clear. Concussion protocol is one of the few injuries that are... injuries, I'm saying in air quotes, one of the few things that can sideline a player that is black and white. It's literally, is he in concussion protocol or not? Sirianni is not allowed to question the concussion protocol. This isn't the Eagles saying, hey, we just want to rest him. It has nothing to do with rest. It's a matter of, he's in concussion protocol. I can't tell you more. We're going to test him for concussion-like symptoms every day. And when he checks us all the boxes, then he'll be out of concussion protocol. So that's one thing. At this point, no, I'm not overly worried about it. Now, if we sit here a week from today, and he still hasn't practiced.
Oh, yeah.
His status for the wild card game is really in question. All right, now we're talking.
Yeah,
now we're
sounding the alarms.
Now we're sounding the alarms. But we have not heard any reason, as of this point, to believe that he will not be ready to go for that playoff game. We do not have any real tangible evidence that he won't be ready to go. To which I say, no, I'm not overly worried. The guy would be resting anyway. He would not be practicing this week anyway. I do understand he would have played the Cowboys last week, and he would have played through that Commanders game. And your point that he's only taken basically one series worth of snaps in a month, but this is not uncommon for quarterbacks late in the year. This is not something, Patrick Mahomes is dealing with a bit of an ankle thing right now, yep. And he's not playing this week and probably wouldn't be anyway. Teams who clinch early, who clinch a week or two early, have this burden of like, do you play guys or do you stick them out there and get some reps? I think at the end of the day, if you believe in Jalen Hurts as a quarterback, then you'll believe in him in a wild card game following rest. If you don't believe in him, then maybe you'll try and chalk it up as this is rust, but at the end of the day, I think he'll play in the Green Bay game just the same. If he struggles to find some rhythm in the passing game, if he's holding on to the ball too long, that's because that's who we've seen Jalen Hurts play as a quarterback this year, not because he's been out for the past couple of weeks.
215-592-9494. Do you have any concern at all about the time off for Jalen Hurts and whether or not he'll come back rusty? I just worry a little bit about the timing and the rhythm getting back to where it seemed like it finally found something after that Steelers game, after the Washington game, after they really locked in and I think what seemed like fixed the passing game, at least for the time being. I just worry about that sort of falling apart with the time off. So we have that on the table. We're also talking about the report that came out, was it yesterday from, or maybe earlier this morning?
Jeremy Fowler
that, and he's not the first one to report this or hint at this, that Nick Sirianni's job could be hanging in the balance. And he could lose it if they lose in the first round of the postseason. So, taking all your calls on that. It is a Football Friday. We'll do some of our usual Football Friday features a little bit later on in the show. You know, this game has virtually no meaning to it whatsoever. We'll go back to the phone lines here. Let's say what's up to Matt in Broomall. What's up there, Matt?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Matt?
So I'm a little bit nervous about Hurts going in rusty, and I think I have a couple good reasoning behind it. I mean, first, for one, we've seen in the past kind of when he doesn't play in the preseason and his first little action of real football has kind of gotten off the slow starts the past couple years. Mm-hmm. And another reason I would give is, and this is kind of something that will piss a lot of Eagles fans off, and they kind of act like it's not the case, but, I mean, ultimately, he was a big part of the reason that held the offense back to their full potential this year. And a lot of that had to do with his inability to read defenses and anticipate throws. And I think that's something that is Russ going to play a major factor. Like, you know, he's going to get back out there and not be seeing stuff. So, I mean, I'm definitely a little nervous about it for sure. I think it's a mistake to not play him if he clears the protocol. I would just give him, you know, two possessions, quick, easy throws, make sure he doesn't get hit. Just knock the rust off.
Yeah. Does Jalen Hurts really need to, like, read the Giants' defense, though, to get ready for a game against the Packers or the Commanders?
I mean, I think it would just having him out there and just, like, you know, having him throw some stuff that's anticipation throws, even if it's a couple small, easy ones. Just, you know, knock that rust off. Because we've seen in the past when, like I said, when he didn't play in the preseason and when he's come back from injury, he doesn't usually always come back red hot. And like I said, he's kind of been a big part of why this offense hasn't really taken off to their full potential this year.
And Matt, I would even equate it to, like, a three-point shooter in basketball. If you're in a little bit of a rut or if you are rusty, you need to see one or two fall in, right? You don't need to do anything crazy. You don't need to see him carve up the Chiefs' defense. So I understand it's the Giants, who might as well just be practice dummies out there. But maybe just seeing him get back into that rhythm and get his timing back. Like, I think the biggest key to this whole thing is the timing. And I'm worried that they might have found something there with the rhythm and with the timing. They use those words all the time. I'm worried that they might have finally started to figure it out after 15 weeks, and now all of a sudden that's gone and all the hard work is for naught just because he only played 12 snaps in the span of a month. That just sort of lingers in the back of my mind.
Yeah, and another thing I would add is, like, even NFL players themselves admit that a playoff game is a totally different environment and a totally different game. So do you really want him going from no competitive football played for like 3 weeks to win or go home situation? So, you know, I think it's a little tough situation there.
Yep. All right, Matt. And then you got something that's long overdue for us.
Yeah, I think we'd all agree here. An Eagle to win MVP, man. We've never had it in time. It should have been this year if he broke the record, but we're going to have one. It'll happen.
Man. All right. I appreciate the call, Matt. Talk to you soon, buddy. I don't know when the next opportunity for an Eagle to win the MVP would be. I mean, this was the time.
Jalen finished second in 22.
Right.
It's Jalen Hurts or whoever the next Eagles quarterback to be the best quarterback in a given season is.
I think the days of Jalen Hurts being an MVP candidate, unfortunately, might be over.
So the next time we see an Eagle win the MVP is if...
Not before the Flyers win the Stanley Cup.
No. Flyers got to win the Cup. Sixers got to win the finals. Phillies get another World Series.
Yep.
How about a Lombardi trophy?
Yeah, that'd be better than an MVP. I mean, look, it's only been 7 years, but then we can argue that's long overdue there, too. So
52 years at first were more long overdue.
That was way more long overdue. But so we are looking for something that you think is long overdue, along with your phone calls on, you know, if you want to get into the Saquon Barkley thing, if you had any chance to react to that on WIP, you're more than welcome to do that. Are you worried that Jalen Hurts is going to be rusty after, you know, not having played for a while going into the postseason? And, of course, the reports about Nick Sirianni's job status. If things were to go awry in the first round of the postseason, let's talk to my good buddy, Ken Encinnaminson. Hey, Ken.
What's up, Kenny?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey,
how
man.
Are you?
What's up?
Happy New Year.
Get it out now. Don't bring it on Monday, Ken.
Appreciate that, Ken.
Got it in right under the wire.
There you go.
So, first of all, Kyle, I'm really distressed to hear you fall into the idiocy. I mean, you need to go home and take a long look in the mirror this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just one rule of thumb. If they're talking about Nick Sirianni, if Chris from Middletown says it, then the opposite
is true. Yeah.
I usually feel that way about you, though, Ken. I mean...
Not about this. Not about
no,
this.
You're right. We're usually on the same page with this.
I'm a little distressed. It's the one thing we're normally simpatico on.
Yeah. Well, it's been a long couple weeks.
The whole Jalen Hurts clearing concussion protocol, should he play, shouldn't he play, it's the same, frankly, stupid conversation as Saquon Barkley, because if Jalen Hurts were to clear concussion protocol this week, and I frankly don't think the Eagles want him to clear concussion protocol this week. And I don't think he can clear concussion protocol until he practices. So if they don't practice him, then he can't clear concussion protocol. Because if he were to clear concussion protocol, then what you're saying is you're either going to send him out there to develop timing with Johnny Wilson and Jahan Dotson behind the backup offensive line.
The JV offensive line, yeah.
Or you're going to play all the guys that absolutely positively have to be off their feet for a week, because I will stress this again, because it doesn't seem to sink into anybody's skulls around here. The only guy that, the only guy on the starting offensive line that did not limp off the field at some point this year was Cam Jurgens, and the guy played 1,000 snaps at center. Every single one of those guys has limped off the field at some point this year, and if you think it's worth getting a series or two in to see Fred Johnson starting at right tackle next week against the Packers, then I don't know what to tell you.
Well, that's not necessarily what I wanted to see. I guess my whole point was, in the perfect world, all the offensive starters are out there. That means Saquon gets a go for it, and whether Lane Johnson likes it or not, the line gets a few series to see if they have a shot at breaking the record, and Jalen Hurts clears concussion protocol, and he's able to get reps with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. If Dallas Goedert's eligible to come back from the IR this year, I'd like to even see him get in the mix. And, like, look, Ken, I'm resigned to the reality that we're not seeing any of them, and that Jalen Hurts has not clear concussion protocol, and that it's going to be all backups, and this is going to be a totally meaningless game. I don't have to like it, and it does sort of linger in the back of my mind that this could be a problem in the first round of the postseason. I don't want this to be the fatal flaw. I don't want to, after everything that we built up here and knowing what we know about this football team, that a completely avoidable situation ends up biting us.
Well, I've never known you to panic before.
No,
Kyle,
not so me.
He's getting all scared now. He's on this side of the glass, yeah. Ken.
Concern me just a bit that Joe Giglio Glass Half Empty Award goes to Kyle Quinn.
No, well, yeah, I mean,
well, he's sitting in the same chair today. He's sitting in the same chair, Ken.
Some are arguing that it was when I sat in a huge chair that I became plant based.
We switched chairs in the last break. Yeah.
There are a lot of theories floating around there, Ken. All right, so Ken, give me something that you think is long overdue.
Well, unfortunately for you, it's going to stay overdue, and that is the 76ers getting past the second
round. Oh, boy. You get out of here, Ken.
By the way, you want to talk about the Sixers and a ball going through the hoop? You know who doesn't struggle to see the ball go through the hoop? Steph Curry. Goes for 30 points. I don't know how many people stayed up and watched the game.
I didn't.
Steph goes for 30 points, 11 for 15 from the field, 8 for 8 from 3. Guy's 36 and not missing a beat.
Man.
Slayed the Sixers last night.
So, full disclosure, I'd made a bet with Ken. I had said the Sixers will go to the Eastern Conference Finals this year.
The beginning of the season?
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
I'm not feeling great about it.
And so, what do you have to do if they get lost?
Well, if they lose second round earlier. I am not correct. I have to concede all of my sports knowledge to the great Ken and Cinna Minson.
What is that
on
look
air?
Like? On air.
And an on-air apology to Ken,
okay.
And where I will defer to his wisdom and his ever-knowing, whatever the hell you want to call it, his amazing sports knowledge, and that I am inferior with my sports takes. So 215-592-9494.
So this would be coming in May if it happens.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know how long this Sixers season is. I don't know how long.
Listen, don't give it up too soon. You were giving up on Hugh too soon.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
See it through. I'm a
fatalist today, man. I know I'm bringing everybody down. I guess somebody had to. All right, we'll squeeze in one more call before we hit a break here. Jeff in Boyertown. Let's talk about the Birds in the postseason. What's up there, Jeff?
Yo. Hey, first of all, guys, I appreciate you trying to get the WIP off of Saquon Barkley today. I know you're trying. It's not 100%, but I had to turn it off the last couple of days. It just got beat the dead horse.
Jeff, Saquon Barkley not playing, it is a big deal that matters to a lot of people. And
people want to talk about it.
But we can't lose sight of the fact that the quarterback is also in concussion protocol, and there's a playoff game in a little more than a week.
Right. So, Nick Sirianni, fired if they don't win in the game. If the Eagles lose the football game, what's the most likely reason they're going to lose the football game? In my opinion, the other team's going to shut down Saquon Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to fall on Jalen Hurts. So, can Jalen Hurts pass them over a team that shuts down Saquon Barkley?
I worry about that too, Jeff. And
I agree.
And especially with the fact that now he's about to enter this postseason not having taken meaningful snaps for like nearly a month. Like, when you add it all up, he's took 12 snaps in that Commanders game. I just worry about it. It felt to me, Jeff, like, and we all know that this has been a problem for the Eagles all season long that they got off to these slow starts. And it didn't bite them. But, you know, in the postseason, it's an entirely different animal. Everything's more magnified. The quarterback play matters more. It just it pains me to think about that this is something that we probably, you know, maybe it might end up being unavoidable. But say Jalen Hurts clears concussion protocol.
I think the team's seen a whole season of, like, to shut down the Eagles, you got to shut down Saquon Barkley, and they're going to pour everything they can into that.
That's clear.
And say, okay, Jalen Hurts, you beat us.
Yeah.
You beat us.
And
I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Yep. And I just, Jeff, I'll continue with my thoughts on that after you give us what you think is long overdue.
I've been watching the Eagles since 1970.
Uh-oh.
I won a stand in the pocket, 6'6" quarterback. Oh, delivered
6 foot
a ball
six.
On time.
You want Tanner McKee, basically.
Exactly. Delivered a ball on time, anticipate. And the closest we ever had was probably Donovan McNabb. Mm. Yeah. Almost 20 years ago. Mm. But we still remember the worm burners and stuff. But I want Wentz had a one good season of doing that.
Yeah. Foles was pretty
but
tall.
I want to watch the Eagles for 5-6 years in a row, where I tune in on Sunday and I know my quarterback is going to execute the offense week in and week out.
Right.
It might not be, it's not perfect, not perfect, but execute the offense and just deliver a ball on time with accuracy.
All right, Jeff.
I've been waiting a long time for that.
I appreciate the call there, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, look.
Not a lot of teams in the league have that.
No,
You watch around
the NFL's changed.
Like, you watch around the league on Sundays, and this week 18, I think a lot of people, I would imagine, probably scoreboard watching even more than watching the Eagles. I mean, we'll be keeping an eye on the Packers and the Commanders' scores to see who the Eagles, we'll know as of 4:30 at the latest, pretty much, on Sunday, who the Eagles will be playing in that wild card round. And we'll take an eye on that. In the late window, we'll have Broncos trying to go into the playoffs against Carson Wentz. We'll be doing, you're going to do a lot of scoreboard watching this weekend. I know not all the starters are playing, but you're going to see some quarterback play that will make you appreciate Jalen Hurts just a little bit more.
215-592-9494. I echo a lot of Jeff's sentiments there about it, the worry for the first round of the playoffs.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Regardless of what you think about Jalen Hurts, there is a chance that he comes in and his timing's off. He's a little bit rusty. I worry about that a little bit as we head into this postseason here. Your thoughts on that? If you still want to weigh in on Saquon going for the record, and of course the report about Nick Sirianni's job potentially hanging in the balance if they get bounced in the first round. Welcome back, Sports Radio WIP. Buzz Wilson, Kyle Quinn, filling in for Joe and Hugh, who are still slacking off, will not return to the airwaves until Monday. We're holding it down for you on this Friday. Appreciate Buzz holding it down for everybody this week on the Midday Show. I've been listening into you and Al and you and Rob Ellis. A lot of good stuff.
Opportunity in part made possible by the fact that we have a couple babies here, new at WIP.
Correct, yep. So would you like to expose the two?
Yeah, of course. So on December 30th, Tom and his wife Teresa welcomed their newborn Colin Kelly. That is their
third. That's a very Irish name.
Yes,
that's
Colin
a ridiculously
Kelly.
Irish name.
Colin Kelly. So he is now the youngest of three. Mm. So they have three babies in that house.
Congrats, TK.
And from the afternoon show on January 2nd, The Fritz family, Jack and Jill Fritz, welcomed Sutton Fritz.
Mm, so not Juan.
Not Juan. Oh. He signed with the Mets, not the Phillies.
Right.
So Sutton Fritz.
Not an Irish name.
Not he. And so he is now the younger brother of Walker.
All
so
right.
So I know that Tom's been out all week. So Broads has been holding down the morning show with Devin Caney. I got the opportunity to do middays. I'm going to get an opportunity to do some afternoon show producing next week. Now that Jack's going to be out.
Nice.
So a festive time here at WIP.
That's nice. And congrats to Jack. Congrats to TK. And congrats to Walker and TK's other two children for now being older brothers and older sisters.
Yes.
So that's good, man. That's good stuff there. All right. So 215-592-9494 in just a few minutes. I'll get into a little bit of an assessment on sort of how we might look back on this season as Philadelphia Eagles fans This thing does not end up in a Super Bowl. But first, spending a lot of time talking about Nick Sirianni's job status potentially being on the line with the reports from Jeremy Fowler and the speculation from Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, that with a first-round exit, he could be gone. Seems crazy to say. Of course, we have the Saquon record decision floating out there. I know people want to get in on that as well. And I'm a little bit nervous that Jalen Hurts is going to come back looking a little bit rusty in the postseason. We got a lot going on here today. Mickey in New Jersey wants to chime in on Saquon not being able to get the rushing record. What's up there, Mickey?
Good morning. I would say Happy New Year, but I haven't called in for quite a while, so I don't want to violate any protocol.
No. It's January 3rd, Mickey. It's okay today. The whole point is this weekend and Monday. Get it out of your system.
I am going to ding you, though. It's not the morning anymore.
Well, I've been sitting since morning. Sorry about that. Oh,
good morning,
but Happy
Sunshine.
New Year's still a fair game.
Happy New Year's. I just wanted to comment a little bit on the Saquon issue. I've been listening all week and resisting the temptation to call in, but finally heard enough. And I really think you guys crystallized it an hour or so ago when you said that this decision is depriving the fans of an opportunity. Now, first Eagles game I ever went to, I was 8 years old with my dad, and the one thing I remember most about that game was a guy on the other team wearing number 32. And my whole response was, can't anybody tackle that guy? And, of course, that was Jim Brown. They were playing the Cleveland Browns.
I remember him well.
So that kind of set the trigger for enjoying running backs. And here you have Saquon, who is poised to do this. And it's almost like everybody is looking at, now I would love to see him win a Super Bowl, no doubt. But there seems to be an underlying current of, all we have to do is rest Saquon against the Giants, and then we mail in the Super Bowl. And there are a lot of good teams, and, you know, in my years of watching Philadelphia sports, first thing comes to mind, 64 Phillies. We can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Sure can. That's what we do here.
I'm concerned that we're going to do this, and we throw a clunker game like they did against Carolina and Tampa Bay, and all of a sudden the fans got neither.
Yeah, Mickey, I'm totally with you, and I'm going to get more into that in just a little bit. I heard some sound on Get Up from Dan Orlovsky that I totally and 100% agree with. Just to your first point there, I always thought that the running back position is one of like the most fun things to watch as a football fan. I grew up a huge fan of Brian Westbrook. I even liked the Rams for a little bit because Marshall Faulk was so awesome to watch. I love watching a good running back. I love a guy who's elusive, who's powerful, who's fast. Like, I think the running back position is so cool. And just the opportunity here that Saquon had to go and get that record and take it from Eric Dickerson, like, that would have been an awesome thing for us fans to have, Mickey. So I totally agree with you, man. I feel like we've almost been robbed of what could have been a cool opportunity, and the Super Bowl's not guaranteed either way. So, Mickey, I do appreciate your perspective on that. What do you got for me that's long overdue?
Well, I cut classes in 74 for the parade on Chestnut Street.
Oh, you want another parade?
For the
Flyers?
Stanley Cup.
Yeah, man.
Boy, that's three votes for the Cup.
I got the people going on that one there. Thanks for the call, Mick. I appreciate it, buddy.
I was told this station doesn't talk hockey.
Not enough. You know? All right. I guess that teased me up pretty perfectly for what I wanted to get into next. So, Caleb, let's let the people hear this take from Dan Orlovsky in regards to what now that the Eagles are not going for this rushing record and that they're packing it in to sort of just focus solely on winning the Super Bowl. Here's Dan Orlovsky yesterday.
Andy Reid always rests his guys when they have everything locked up. All that is well and good, but they don't always have a record of this magnitude that also hangs in the balance. What's your reaction to the decision?
Better go win the whole thing then. I get it. Football-wise, I get it. The fan in me is bummed about it because he's so close. And I understand the most important thing is going to win the Super Bowl. Better go get it, because you don't want to go for two for him. You don't want to pass on, you know, having his name and your team and your name and your franchise attached to that record and then not also win the Super Bowl. So if you're Philly and Nick Sirianni, I 1,000% understand the football element of it. Go win the Super Bowl.
I could not agree more. And I think now more than ever, it is imperative, and I know this seems like a lot to ask because, you know, only one team does it every year. The Philadelphia Eagles, without question in my mind, have to win the Super Bowl this year, or us Eagles fans will all look back at the season not only as falling short, but I think a colossal failure and a missed opportunity. And here's the way I'll put it. This has been, I think, somewhat of an unexpected season, right? And, you know, there were some people, we talked about this earlier, that had predicted a ton of wins, you know, 13-4, going to the conference championship game, stuff like that. I think most people sort of had them in the 11-12 win range, right? You think Saquon was going to have a pretty good year. The defense, maybe middle of the pack, et cetera, et cetera. But they've far and beyond exceeded our expectations. The defense looks like it's one of the best defenses in football, and they're young. They had Saquon Barkley go for 2,000 yards, a shot at going for the record. A 10-game win streak for the first time in franchise history. Tons of firsts this year for the Eagles, right? Going on the road and winning in Cincinnati. I think Baltimore, that was another first. So all of this stuff. But now, within 101 yards, you are going to tell me that you were going to rob us of going for this record because you're thinking about going to win the Super Bowl. I will say you better win the Super Bowl because I always looked at this as this was not an either-or proposition, Buzz. This was best-case scenario. They could have the record and win the Super Bowl. And then the worst-case scenario, you get neither. Well, so now you've put us in position to where the more likely scenario, because they're not going to get the best-case scenario, they're not going for the record, is that you get neither. So you end up running the risk of blowing the one seed by losing that game to Washington, refusing the rushing record that, you know, talking to all these fans this week, that everybody wanted, and not winning a Super Bowl, I worry that this is going to end up being a season that we fans look back on, if they don't win the Super Bowl, and say, man, that was a failure.
So a few things. Number one, so I don't know when the last time you've looked at it is. Do you know where the Eagles rank in terms of Super Bowl odds, like chances to win?
Are they fourth?
They're fifth right now. So in case anyone hasn't, entering week 18, Chiefs are first at plus 360, Lions second plus 470. That will obviously alter depending on the game this weekend. Bills plus 600, Ravens plus 650, then Eagles plus 700. Okay, so that's for starters. They are considered to be top five to have a shot at the Super Bowl, and I think we all agree that they have a really, really good chance at this thing. We would feel good about them in any NFC playoff game, yep, including an NFC championship, and the toughest task they'll have is, you know, either the Bills or the Chiefs, but they're only going to have to play one of them.
Or maybe going on the road in the NFC championship game.
That's what I'm saying, but I think we even still, yeah. I think the city,
by Friday, be picking the Eagles.
We'll all be picking the Eagles, right? He's almost hurt by the fact of how good of a chance they have here. Because the flip side of everything you just said, and sure, if he went out there and played, and all the offensive linemen went out there and played, it's not an either-or proposition. It's very conceivable that he would have rushed for 101 yards, broken the record, he would have gotten a nice ovation down at the Link on Sunday, starters get pulled, we're talking about a playoff game. Now, the fact that they have such good odds to win the Super Bowl, this is not 2021. Nick Sirianni was asked on Wednesday, why is this different from when Devontae Smith was allowed to chase the rookie receiving record the final week of the year? This is not 2021 where simply making the playoffs was a successful season. You're saying that they need to win the Super Bowl for it to not be a failure?
Yeah.
I was already at that point, and that would have been the case even if he got the rushing record.
Okay.
And we've also talked today about, you know, Nick Sirianni on the hot seat if they lose the wild card game. Guess what his job would have been if he advocated to the front office and convinced them, hey, we want to play Saquon on Sunday, and he rolls an ankle, or someone on the offensive line rolls an ankle, and then you lose.
Yep.
Guess who doesn't have a job the following day?
Right, Nick Sirianni.
It's not a risk you can afford to take, and it's not a situation because that the Eagles have such a good chance to win the Super Bowl this year, and they won't have a bye the following week, and they haven't had a bye since week 5.
Yep.
Every other factor worked against Saquon Barkley. It's just the unfortunate fact of the matter, and we got bigger goals here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think all those points are very valid. And I always, throughout this, I understood the other side to why you wouldn't want to let Barkley go for the record. Understand?
It's like, not just the risk of him. It's the O-line.
Sure.
It's all of them. Yeah.
And a lot of this, if we're being totally honest about it, is a subjective thing. How important is that record for you? How important is it not as important as the Super Bowl? Is the Super Bowl the only thing that matters? I guess the inflection point here, and this is why I feel now more than ever that they have to go win the Super Bowl, is because if they didn't, you could have at least fell back on the fact that it was a special season and that Saquon broke the rushing record. And I know that in the time, we're all going to be pissed off, whatever, you know, for the week or so after they lose, and people are going to be calling for whoever's heads, this and that. But, and I hate to be that guy, we don't win too much here in Philadelphia. We don't. All of our favorite
seasons. Unless you're Kansas City, most teams don't.
Right. Yeah. But, like, here in Philly, a lot of our favorite teams, a lot of our favorite players, our favorite runs, moments, come from teams that did not win at all. I mean, Allen Iverson, in particular, in 2001, you know, the 04 Eagles, probably one of the most beloved Eagles teams in Philadelphia. We look back on those seasons very fondly because they had their special moments and their special players and people that, you know, had that special place in our heart. 2,000 yards, I understand, is super cool. But, like, he could have been one of one. We could have been the Philadelphia Eagles' own the NFL rushing record. And I think that would have aged better in time. After the fallout of people being upset they didn't win, that would have aged better. We would have been able to look back on that season that we took Saquon from the Giants and he broke the rushing record against them. That would have been something that I think would have been a point of pride for people.
And yet, what season gets remembered the most? If you ask any Philadelphia sports fan the best day of their entire life, what do they say?
No, sure.
February 4th, 2018.
Yes, correct.
Correct.
I understand that. That's the number one most important thing for a lot of people.
Chasing the record in this case would have lowered the odds that you accomplish that this year.
Maybe.
I think it would, because now you're tempting fate. Like, you know right now, Hurts might, we've been spending all show talking about he's in concussion protocol. It's not a guarantee he's good to go for the wild card round. Yep. Right now, barring a meteor hitting the NovaCare complex or him, you know, tripping over, you know, his own shoelaces, Saquon Barkley is going to be ready to go and well-rested for that wild card game.
Sure.
The offensive line is all going to be healthy. If you stick them out there on Sunday, you go chase the record, you are now taking an absolute that he's ready and making it a risk. With every play, Nick Sirianni, Howie Roseman upstairs, Jeff Lurie, they're all holding their breath. Don't get hurt. Okay.
Sure.
Don't get hurt.
Yep.
Okay. You can guarantee that they're good to go. You can guarantee that you're giving yourself the best possible competitive advantage over a Packers team who's going to play their starters this week. You can give yourself an extra week to prepare effectively for them, maybe the Commanders, and give yourself a de facto bye entering the playoffs. These guys, I thought Ken actually made a pretty good point. That
no way.
He did. That Cam Jurgens is the only guy who hasn't limped off the field at some point this year. Like, I can't imagine the aches and pains of being an NFL player at this point in the year. Do you know how hard it would be? You haven't had a bye since week 5. The Eagles would have had to set the NFL record for consecutive weeks played in pursuit of a Super Bowl title. You can't tell me that you're giving yourself the best chance possible to go win the Super Bowl if he plays.
I understand the benefits of it. I do. I think, I guess, the way where I stand on it, where I've always stood on it, and we both agree, this is more of, you know, each individual fan is going to come at this from a different way. What's more important to you?
I thought the level of value.
Correct.
Niche,
I thought it was worth the risk to go for the record. Like, I think the record is that important. I think it's that memorable. And I think it's something that we would have at least been able to fall back on had they not ended up winning the Super Bowl. And now I think the Super Bowl is just that much more important.
I hear you. And we'll go back to the phones here in just one second.
Yep.
If the Super Bowl wasn't as likely of a scenario as it was, if, to your point, you know, maybe if we were New England or Kansas City, it already had 3 or 4 Super Bowls, maybe I entertain it more. Maybe if they didn't have a bye in week 5. Maybe if any of these things were different. But it's not.
No.
It's not. And we also know here in Philadelphia, they play in a division that hasn't been won in back-to-back years in 20 years. And the Eagles have had opportunities staring in the face to go win the Super Bowl and blown it in 22. And then in 23, they come back the following year and the season goes the way it goes.
Yeah.
You have a really good opportunity this year that you don't know will be there next year, the year after that, the year after that. You got to give yourself every little advantage you can find.
Yeah, sure. And that's why I think at the end of the day that it's imperative that they win the Super Bowl this year, or, you know, there's going to be a really bad taste in a lot of Eagles fans' mouth. 215-592-9494. Let's get some more calls in on this. Pete in Washington, D.C. wants to talk about Nick Sirianni. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm pretty fired up about this Sirianni talk. In my opinion, the only good reason to call for his head is because he's been a clown at times. Unless something catastrophic happens, like Dan Wilson said in the playoffs, it is way too unfair to be calling for his head. Now, hang on one sec. If you compare him Nick Sirianni side by side to Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, who are the two longest tenured CEO coaches in the league right now with 35 combined seasons.
Yep.
It's only two Super Bowl wins and three AFC championships, which are included in those Super Bowls. I just don't understand. What other reason could you give me an believers in Sirianni, like a different reason than him being a clown?
So,
at times?
Well, Pete, I will give you one. So I know a lot's been, and me, I've made a lot of this myself. Nick Sirianni's regular season record, it's impeccable. I love the fact that he gets the team ready to win and puts them in good position to win during the regular season. But I'll have to push back a little bit on this Mike Tomlin Harbaugh thing. If you go down to Baltimore, if you go to Pittsburgh, you know what a lot of them are going to be talking about? Well, yeah, Mike Tomlin, and I can tell you for a fact, this is what they talk about in Pittsburgh. Yeah, Mike Tomlin has never had a losing record. But when are they going to be competitive in the postseason? And a lot of Steelers fans, I think, are getting tired of just sort of being, it's almost like the Sixers being in that purgatory that we wanted to get out of so badly, and that's why they started the process. It's like, yeah, winning in the regular season's great, but if Nick Sirianni gets bounced in the first round again.
Mike Tomlin coaches the NFL equivalent of the Sixers?
Yeah, well, no. Maybe. You know what? I've heard a lot of comparisons from the Sixers to the Baltimore Ravens, right? Like, it's pretty similar, and I bet you there's people down in Baltimore that are like, well, you know, this regular season success is nice, but when are we going to have postseason success? And I guarantee you that Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman are looking at it in that way, is that, okay, it's time for you to buck up and give us a Super Bowl win with all this talent and all of this good opportunity we've given you.
By the way, Doc Rivers has won a title more recently than Mike Tomlin.
Wow. Yeah. So there you have it, man. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Sirianni, I hope that, and I believe in him, that he's going to be doing good things this year. I mean, it's a special year. I'm really upset that Saquon can't get that. Doesn't have the opportunity to get that record.
Me too, man.
Yep. It bums me so bad, but I wish we weren't talking about Sirianni's head over and over. I mean, the guy is just like Hurts, a winner.
Yeah, sure. And to be clear, Pete, like, this isn't something I just pulled out of thin air. Like, there's sort of speculation,
Jeremy
rumors,
Fowler
reporting.
Said it. We're not stirring it up for fun.
It seems like they're hearing it from somewhere and it's on the table. Look, I'm a big Sirianni guy too. I hope that this isn't even a discussion that we have to have. And they go on and they win the Super Bowl. And then, you know, we're not sitting here having to talk about, man, they screwed up. The season's a failure. Saquon didn't go for the record. And Nick Sirianni's got to go, this and that. Pete, before I let you go, buddy, what's long overdue?
The government disclosing to the public the truth about the extraterrestrial
aliens.
UFOs.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't know where that was going.
When
he said the government.
You start off with the government. I'm like, you know, we do have 1210. Let's see?
He said the government unveiling the truth, and I was like, oh, no.
Are you a believer in aliens, Buzz?
No.
Wow.
I'm not into. I mean, sure, they could exist.
Yeah.
Maybe on another planet. Right.
Yeah, I always wonder about the truth behind any of these
conspiracies.
Or UFO sightings. And, you know, we got drones and stuff nowadays.
The drones is weird.
It is a little bit weird, the drone stuff.
They were just all over Jersey.
The drones were? What, recently?
Yes. You haven't heard about this? For like a month at this point.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was close by. I just knew that there were drones.
No, there have been drones hovering over Jersey for a while. And
that's
unclear where they're coming from.
It's a little bit worrisome. All right.